Appreciate again those songs this morning. Very fitting. Reminded me, the first song reminded me of the scripture. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what the Lord wants to give us. Rest from, not just from sin and the toils of that, but rest from anything that's not pleasing to God. That rest from struggling on our own, trying to make things happen, but that we need to wait upon the Lord, as the scripture says. I have a burden this morning. The first part, I guess you would say, would be part of a maybe a little teaching session, but yet there's more to it with the Lord's help. I want to start with reading a couple of scriptures in St. John, the 6th chapter. And this is where the some of the Jews were questioning Jesus, and the disciples in particular, inquiring about some things of Jesus. And here in the, we'll start with verse 30, just to lay a little foundation here, and then we'll read some more scriptures in the Old Testament following this. In verse 30 it says, "They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see, and believeth thee? What dost thou work?" So here we have the Jews asking for a sign. They want to see something real in their mind. You know, Jesus has already performed some miracles and there was more to come. But they wanted to see something in the flesh. And they acknowledge in verse 31, it says, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So they're acknowledging what God had done in the past, some proofs of God's power. He provided manna to the children of Israel in the wilderness there. In verse 32, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." So what Jesus is saying here, well, let's go back to the root of this. First of all, the manna, it didn't come from Moses anyway. It was from God, and he gave you a gift, or gave them a gift, the children of Israel, of bread from heaven. And he's saying, the same Father, the Heavenly Father, has given you yet another gift now. And it says, "But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." He's like, that was the literal bread that they were able to eat. God blessed, it was a miracle in itself. But there's something more here. Something more than just the physical, tangible thing. That's what Jesus is trying to distinguish here, that you're looking for the literal, tangible, visible miracles. Alright? Something to tickle the eyes and the ears and just intrigue and, you know, to be impressed with. He's like, I'm going way beyond that. This is something spiritual. I'm trying to establish a spiritual kingdom. And they didn't really see that or understand it for quite some time. Some never did receive that. But he's saying here, "But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." So I'm going to write the title on the board here. I've written on the board, the bread of life. Now, I want to start with covering a little bit about this manna, or what the Jews were talking about. And this manna that was sent from God to the children of Israel in the wilderness. And I want to, just to lay a foundation again, let's go back to Exodus, the 16th chapter. In the 16th chapter, there's several verses here. I don't know that I'll read them all. We'll just try to pick through them to get the general essence of what this was. You see, the Jews, they understood the manna. Now, the amazing thing was, I don't think they understood fully even in the literal sense, what God was doing here. But let's consider what this manna was. In Exodus, the 16th chapter, in verse 13, we'll start there. "And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." Now we'll stop right there and consider the name manna itself. You research it a little bit, and there's different descriptions of what it is. Manna, basically, in the old Hebrew, was manna meant, what is it? A question. It's something unusual. This is odd. And these little round things on the ground in the mornings. And Josephus also interprets it this way, that a question of, is it food? You know, what is this? Is it food? And then other names it's been given as angel's bread. But truly, this manna was something of a miracle. It wasn't even anything in the natural occurrence. It wasn't from a plant, it wasn't from a tree, it wasn't from a shrub, or wasn't from any other. It was something truly supernatural. In fact, naturalists and scientists, they've studied and looked into this, and they never have been able to figure out what this was all about. I want to tell you something. They never will in the literal sense, in the natural sense, because it truly was supernatural. It was from God. It was the means of sustaining over a million people for 40 years. This manna, this bread from heaven, this angel's bread, to sustain them. Now let's get into the particulars of what this was. Verse 16. "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons, and take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And an omer is basically roughly 2 quarts. So of all these little round things on the ground, gather up roughly 2 quarts for each person. "And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less, according to the age and size. And when they did meet it out with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating." Now that's really interesting. It's as if it wasn't like you could just gorge yourself on this and hoard up a whole bunch of it. And we'll read here in a little bit what would happen if you tried to do that. But it was, God was going to meet their needs. That's all they needed. It wasn't their, he wasn't going to meet their selfish desires and give them what they wanted, but just what they needed. Enough. Okay? And it goes on here. "And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them." So, in other words, you only gather what you need each day, and we'll get into little particulars here. But the bottom line was, if you tried to gather too much, and what you didn't eat, it was going to rot on you and stink, be full of worms. So you just gathered what you needed, and that's what you ate. And then it goes on here. "And when they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted." So again, if you tried to get more than your share, and you ate what you needed, then it would melt. God saw to it that they had their needs met, and that's all they needed. So then it goes on, verse 22. "And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that which ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning." So, here's the other interesting thing. This was, this manna, sometimes I think maybe was, has maybe been misinterpreted, but you just pick it up and you just eat it, which maybe you could, but the process here was, it was in this form of like a little seed, little round thing it said, that you would actually grind it up and bake it, like bread. So there was work to be done. In other words, it wasn't just like fast food where God was just throwing down little candy bars. Like, here's some candy bars for breakfast every morning. Go out and grab your little Snickers or your Milky Way. But no, there was work, process that had to be done. And it goes on here. And verse 24, and they laid it up to the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath. So what he's saying is, the seventh day, you're not going to go out and gather any. But the sixth day, you're going to gather twice what you need for that day and save that second portion over for the next day, the Sabbath. And guess what? It didn't rot. It didn't stink. God preserved it. You see, if they obeyed, simple little command here, but he's teaching them with little baby steps, essentially, leading them up to something much greater. You see, they hadn't received the full law yet. They hadn't received the Ten Commandments and all the laws and everything, but there's a little precursor, just a hint of what's fixing to come. That on the seventh day is going to be a special day. And God's going to bless what you do on the sixth day so that you'll have enough for the seventh day. Well, and it goes on, verse 27. Now we'll skip down it and go to 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. So yeah, it wasn't really a candy bar, but yet it was pleasing to the taste. You know, I take from this that it says it was sweet. It was like wafers made with honey. You know, God could have gave them some bitter tasting food. Just think about that for a moment, folks. God could have gave them something that tasted nasty. But he didn't. You know what I get from that? That God knows how to endear himself to us. You know, it's the same. I look at it this way. God blesses us richly. We'll just consider this. Take, for instance, just our natural health, or the natural health God gives us, that we're able to get up in the morning and get about and do things, or the natural blessings of a beautiful day or a beautiful sunset, all those little things that we take for granted, those are the special little blessings that God gives us. But he doesn't have to do that. He can make life much more difficult for us. And yet he gives us taste buds that we can enjoy eating. He gives us our five senses. We can enjoy all these other things, singing, and we can enjoy visiting with one another. You know, simple little pleasures that God gives us. And he actually blesses all mankind. As scripture says, he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. But the point is here, God made this manna to taste good. And God did that for a reason. He wanted to prove to them that you're special to me. Again, this is the chosen people God delivered out of Egypt. He said, now, you know what? I'm going to feed you. And here's the amazing thing. They had no means of planting any crops. They couldn't do that. They couldn't and wait for how many months for the wheat and the corn to come up. No, these people needed food now. And God gave them food as they needed it. That's a miracle. That's a blessing from God. And not only that, but it tasted good. So, and it goes on. In verse 35, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. And they did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. Now let's just be frank and honest here. Don't you think you probably get burned out of eating something for 40 years every day? I don't know. Perhaps they could vary the taste of it a little bit, add some little seasonings or whatever they had. I don't know. But the point was, it met their needs. You know, I look at it this way. God is willing to do the same for you and I today. He will meet our needs. It's not as if God is wanting to give us a fabulous, if you understand the point here, steak dinner every day to spoil us. But he's going to meet our needs, give us the bread of life every day to sustain us. And notice here, these people had quite a physical task at hand. Walking around in the wilderness, and they did this for 40 years. And it was enough nutrients to feed the children that they grow and be normal as well. It was a balanced, somehow God made this manna perfectly balanced, adequate food to meet their needs and to give them growth, the nutrients to their bodies that they function normally. That was a blessing from God. So I look at it this way again. God can provide supernatural things for you in this life. He can provide things that, you could say it this way, flies under the radar, that those looking on out in the world are going, how in the world? But yet it's because we're partaking of this bread of life. We're going to get more into this in a little bit. But let's go back and consider here for a moment this manna. We can learn three lessons from this, and no doubt many more. But in this literal manna that God gave the children of Israel, number one, He was teaching them how to be prudent and how to be diligent. They had to go out every morning and gather it. They had to work. He didn't want them to be lazy. They're out in the wilderness just wandering around anyways, like, you know, you guys need something to do and something to look forward to every morning. And that's what God gave them to do. They had to be diligent, get up, work, gather it, grind it, bake it, and there was the bread. Then another thing, another lesson, to be content with enough, just enough. To be content with what God would give them, don't need any more, no less. God's not going to starve you. You know, God could have said, all you need is just a little tiny cup of it. No, 2 quarts or whatever. And then it was, again, in proportion to each person size. Some children, of course, the children ate less, the parents more. But the point was, God wasn't going to starve them. Going to give them enough and be content with that. And a third lesson, to depend upon God and His divine providence. That every morning, you know, I could imagine maybe some of the children wanting to get up in the middle of the night, sneak out of the tent and see when this manna appeared. You know, but the bottom line was God provided every day without fail, like clockwork. Every morning they get out of their tent, there it is. Just like us, every morning we wake up and we can breathe. We can function. It's something supernatural. There's no computer control center somewhere that's controlling my amount of oxygen, that's controlling my body. It's God governing this. It's a blessing from God that every morning I wake up, it's automatic, it's here. That's why we should be so thankful for what God gives us every day. The simple little blessings of life. Well, and to depend upon God to provide and to meet our needs. That was the third lesson. That He was teaching the children of Israel to depend upon Him. Not upon some king, not upon some other idol, some other god out there, but upon the divine heavenly Father and His way of providing and meeting their needs. So, again, this was all before God had given Moses all the commandments and all these things and setting up the tabernacle and all this, the form of ceremonies and worshiping Him and all the sacrifices. This was just setting the foundation of what God was fixing to do for them. And again, this manna was something that sustained them for over 40 years. Well, let's turn and read some more scriptures here. Let's go back to John, the 6th chapter. And let's read on what Jesus was expounding to them. I want to repeat this. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus is talking about Himself. But it was still hidden from them. They didn't understand. They said unto Him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. Oh, you got some bread for us? Oh, we want some manna. We'd love to have some more manna. They didn't get it. They didn't understand what He's saying here. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye believe, that ye also have seen me and believe not, and that the Father giveth me, and that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. And this is the will of him which has sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the whole, if you could say, the center of Jesus' ministry was to bring eternal life. And not just eternal life, which is the greatest, but life on earth. To satisfy the hungering and the thirsting. What he's referring to earlier, he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So, again, these children of Israel, going back to the Old Testament, and they're wandering around out in the wilderness, this bread of life was to sustain them. But Jesus is saying, I am that same bread sent from the same Father, but in a spiritual sense, to satisfy your needs, to sustain you every day, and that if you partake of me, the bread of life, you will not hunger and you will not thirst. I'll satisfy your needs 100%. Not going to give you more than what you need or not enough, but just enough to make it through each and every day of your whole life. You know, the number 40 is actually, again, in the Old Testament used as a complete number. And just in a reference form, that's how you could apply it to our lives. That not just for 40 years, it's for a whole life, a completeness of your life to sustain you as long as you live. This bread of life will do that for you. Well, and it goes on. There's many more scriptures here. Let's read on. Let's get a few more of Jesus' words here. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Again, Jesus emphasizing, it's here. It's right before you. They were so thick-headed and so stubborn, they weren't understanding what Jesus was trying to do. And if they would have been studying the scriptures out, like some of the others had, they would have realized that this was the Messiah. This was Jesus Christ, the promised Son sacrifice for them. He says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. In the literal sense, it only sustained them for however long their life was. That was it. That was all. That's all that manna did for them. They're saying, this bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So you see what Jesus is saying here? This bread of life, if you partake of me, Jesus is saying, you partake of my ways, my laws, the new laws, not just the old, outdated Old Testament laws. They had their place. They were a schoolmate. They were training them. He's like, you take upon me the new laws, the laws of love, the laws of turning the other cheek, the laws of loving your enemies, the laws of doing good to others that despitefully use you, the laws of love. You take upon these attributes in these ways, he's like, then you're going to have everlasting life, not just here on the earth. You're going to be alive here on the earth, of course, but I'll give you everlasting, because he's saying, your forefathers, they died in the wilderness. But I'm giving you the spiritual life that you will live forever. Well, Jesus goes on here and he repeats it. Basically, they keep questioning, like, well, how does this, they don't understand it. And Jesus says again, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And oh, this is a hard saying to them. They didn't understand. They're just like, it was all in a literal sense, a tangible. They're like, we're not going to eat you. But that wasn't what Jesus was talking about. The bread, the eternal bread of life is what he's, the living bread. He's saying, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood and hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Here it is, Jesus repeating over and over, they just weren't getting it. And he's saying, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. You see, they were so short-sighted. They were just looking to have their needs met here on earth. And Jesus is saying, I have so much more in store for you. As the scripture says, it'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You need to give of your life and yourself to the Lord. Give up your ways and take of me, eat of this bread. All right. Don't just eat of the literal things around you, the fame and the recognition and the power. That's what the Jews and the Pharisees and Sadducees, that's what they were focused on. The laws of men, things that would lift themselves up in a position to get more money and more fame, all those things. And then ultimately, oh, well, maybe you're going to set up a literal kingdom. You're going to be our king. We're going to kick out the Romans and I want to be in second and third command and all that, you know. And Jesus saying, no, you don't get it. That's not what I'm talking about. That's of this world. Those are selfish, sinful desires. Raise your heights higher. I want to give you eternal life. We live forever. And in the meantime, you can reign as kings and priests here on this earth. That means you can have power and authority over the flesh, over the selfish desires and ambitions and all those things that actually, as the scripture says, the wages of sin are death. That they bring you death. Well, but this bread of life, it's the living bread. It's something that'll make you alive. It'll give you the spiritual energy. It'll sustain you through the wilderness days, so to speak, here on this earth. Because you think about it. On this earth, sometimes it does seem like a wilderness, does it not? Sometimes it seems like you're just kind of wandering around and the sun, so to speak, it's difficult. The trials, the tests, and the different things that discourage you. But yet God can give us the bread of life, the heavenly manna, to sustain us all the days of our life here on earth. Well, I want to read another scripture. Matthew 4 and 4. This takes a little twist to it, but yet it applies still. And in Matthew 4 and 4, these are, again, Jesus' words. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what this is talking about? This is talking about the word of God being the bread of life. And the scriptures refer to Jesus being, he came from God and the word was made flesh. Jesus' word was made flesh. In other words, the same power and authority and the promises that God held true all the way through the Old Testament, over and over, provided for the children of Israel, that same power and authority from God and through God was going to come down in the flesh, in the human form of a man, Jesus Christ, being the bread of life, that if you partake of His words and His ways and His sayings, His commandments, thus saith the word of the Lord, if you partake of those things, listen to His words and apply them to your heart and in your life, then you're going to live forever. You're going to have everlasting life. God's going to meet your needs. But it's saying man shall not live by bread alone, not just the literal bread, but by the word of God, by His commandments, His laws, His promises. Well, there's a song. In fact, let's sing a verse of this in our hymnal, number 332. Now let's sing verse 3 of 332. Verse 3.
Thank you.
Thank you. So let's get scientific here. Let's consider the literal bread or just a literal food. Isn't it amazing how God made the literal food that we eat to nourish and strengthen our bodies? Just try it. Try it for 3 or 4 days and don't eat anything. What happens? You get weak. You can't think straight. Your body starts shutting down. Try it for several days, a few weeks. Eventually you'll starve to death. But the point is, God made it that once we partake of the natural food, we don't understand what's going on in there, but it's restoring our strength. Literally, physically. God's performing little miniature miracles every minute. The food that you ate for breakfast this morning, it's sustaining you. The food you eat for lunch, it's just, we don't understand it all, but yet it's nutrients to our bodies and it makes us to grow and to function and to be able to carry on life. You know, it's the same thing in a spiritual sense. There is something about it when we partake of the Word of God and we think and we meditate and we study and we start applying it to our spiritual lives, something wonderful starts transforming our spiritual lives and we start growing. We start understanding. God starts revealing things to us. The little light bulbs, spiritual light bulbs start coming on. We're like, oh, I understand and oh, I see that now. And we start growing and maturing spiritually. It's that strength and daily manna to my soul. It's the Word of God. It's the bread of life. It's the words of Jesus, His commandments, His laws, that it starts working and transforming us into something beautiful and pleasing to the Lord. That's what that daily manna will do for you. Well, there's another part of it, and we'll conclude with this. In Revelations 2 and 17, there's something special about this as well. In Revelations 2 and 17, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." You know what this is talking about? To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. This hidden manna is something, again, that flies under the radar of the world. But it's something that the Holy Spirit can do for you when you've given your life to the Lord. And you've given Him all your hopes and dreams and desires and your ambitions and all those things and got rid of all those selfish and sinful things. Say, "Lord, I'm open to You. I've been eating of this bread of life. I've been partaking of Your Word and digesting it and I'm open to what You have to say." Then there's something else beautiful that starts happening. It is the Spirit starts working and moving in your life. In such a beautiful yet silent way that it's like you can't even, you know, sometimes a child, you don't really see them growing when you're with them every day. But be away from a child for a month or a year and they really transform. You know, God through the Holy Spirit can do the same through you and I spiritually speaking. That we may not notice the spiritual growth day to day, but we look back in years past and we see, wow, God, You've really brought me a long ways. There was a time when I couldn't trust You for that. There was a time when I didn't understand this and I rebelled against that and I withstood You over here or I lacked faith over there, whatever. But now I look back and it's like, oh, thank You, Lord. But it was that hidden manna that was growing within you through the Holy Spirit, teaching you things, bringing things to your remembrance. That's what the Holy Spirit did to the disciples there and the other Jews that believed upon Christ at the day of Pentecost. They received the Holy Spirit. They got a hold of that hidden manna. It was a special supernatural spiritual strength that went above and beyond what they could do in the flesh. That's what enabled Peter, the one that was scared to death, to claim the name of Christ and was shaking in his boots saying, "Oh, I don't know that." 3 times denied Christ, but yet that he started partaking of this bread of life. And he got some of that hidden manna within him, and he was the one that stood up and preached with Holy Ghost boldness That was not the natural Peter that was living on the natural manna. This was the Peter living on the heavenly hidden manna of the Holy Spirit, the true bread of life, breathing through him the power of God, transforming lives, other people hearing the word of God in their own language. That was supernatural. That was the hidden manna, the power of the hidden manna to start transforming lives. And that's when the church really started growing. Because after the day of Pentecost, all those people went back to their homelands, and that hidden manna sustained them, where they were able to teach and preach others, and Christianity spread like wildfire. It truly did. It exploded. It was this bread of life, that hidden manna, that enabled them. And do you realize you and I have the same access to that hidden manna? That same access to the bread of life. And it's as if God provides it for us every morning. We have the opportunity. Do you want to pray to me? Do you want to read about me? Do you want to meditate on me? We're all given the same equal opportunity. And yet no one is forcing you to eat that manna every morning, every day. Just like the children of Israel, no one forced them to get out of their beds every morning, out of their tents and say, "Oh, I'm hungry." And someone holding a spear or a sword to their back, "You better get out there and eat." Oh no, they were hungry in the flesh. They went out and got their manna. You realize the same thing goes for us in the spirit. When we are hungry in our spirit for the Lord, we long for His presence in our life and His guiding eye and spirit in our life. God will pour out and give us the hidden manna, but we have to partake of it. He won't force us. You got to get out of bed, so to speak. You got to put forth some effort and prove to the Lord that, yes, I want this hidden manna in my life. And God will give it to you. And He won't give you an abundance of grace more than what you need for that hour or that day. He gives you just enough to sustain you every day. And why does He do that? He wants you to keep coming back every day for the rest of your life. That's this manna to sustain you through all the ups and downs, the wilderness of life. This hidden manna will sustain you. And again, the world, they won't understand it. They won't comprehend it. They'll look at you and like, "What? How are they growing? How are they sustained through all of these tests and trials? And I know so and so, they just gave up, but they keep going. Just like little Energizer Bunny just keeps going and going and going." It's that daily manna. It's that hidden manna they partake of every day, and they hide it within their hearts. And God blesses it, and it grows in their spirit to where they become a mature. This leads us to the last little song I want to sing. Number 122. The title of this song, "If You Would Be a Pillar." And verse 3. Let's sing verse 3 and focus on the course. This is the hidden manna. This is someone that is spiritually matured. They then become a pillar of the church. Something God can use. This supporting one another. All right? That's powerful, that's stable, that's not being rocking back and forth. It's a pillar. All right? So verse 3. Let's sing of number 122, please. Thank the Lord. Let me read that chorus again. Let's get this message, this thought, in conclusion. "He that overcometh shall be clothed in white, and shall eat the hidden manna in the realms of light. Reign on earth as king with Jesus in the word we are told, and in heaven shall forever walk the streets of gold." You know what? That's a bright future. You know what that tells me? That no matter what I face in life, here on this earth, if I partake of this hidden manna, I will reign as a conqueror, as a king, over sin, over Satan, over all his ways to oppose me, that I will reign if I partake of this hidden manna every day. And then beyond that, if I continue and I'm faithful to the Lord till the end of my life, individually, we can all then make it to heaven and walk the streets of gold forever with victory. Isn't that beautiful? And no longer will we need any bread of life up there. We won't need any of the hidden manna up there. We won't need anything, but just the presence of God is there forever. Isn't that a beautiful conclusion to this? That it's available to all of us. This manna, it was available to all the children of Israel. It wasn't just a few tents here or there that had it. Every tent had it outside its door. Available every day. So is the Word of God available to each and every one of us every day. So is the Holy Spirit available to each and every one of us. If we put in for it, say, Lord, I need Your Spirit. I need Your grace. I need Your presence today. We need to put in for it every day. That's how we grow. That's how we conquer. That's how we reign as kings and priests here on this earth. You pray for me that I'll be faithful to the Lord.